welcome to Music of the Moment. My name is Edwin Baker, and today I have the pleasure of interviewing Dr. Milton Brown on civil rights music. I think it's fitting that on June the 22nd of this year, 2023, we celebrate 75 years of the Windrush generation's presence in England. And as a result, I must give a big shout out to Huddersfield, my hometown. I want to find out in these next few moments from Milton his connection with civil rights music, and in particular, his five favorite civil rights tracks and why he's chosen them. Hi, Milton.
All right, Edwin, great to see you.
Good to have you here, man. I'm really looking forward to this little discussion.
Go easy on me now. Go easy.
Okay, before we get into the actual five tracks, just tell us a little bit about your folks and what your musical influences are.
Okay. Well, thank you, Edwin, for inviting me, and thank you, Huddersfield, for growing up in such a beautiful town. But my dad came here in 1958 and mum came here in 1960. And I was born in 61. My sister came here with my mum, and I can remember watching the brutality of the civil rights movement in the mid 60s, the South African apartheid system. The Rights Act was signed July 1964. I wasn't aware of that at the time. And I can vaguely remember the shock and discussions in my household when Dr. Martin Luther King was assassinated, 1968.
Why?
Watching mum and dad embrace the struggle against racism and discrimination, reflecting back to the music my dad played on a day-to-day basis, living every day, going out, coming in, going to school, you know, it was all civil rights. It was a daily struggle for equality, human rights, and being treated equally. Living has always been important from an early age. I guess when you're born in the struggle, every day you remember something about the family and how they came together.
That's really interesting, because, you know, just thinking personally, one of the, I would say it's not a regret, but one of the things I struggle with is remembering things from a really early age.
Okay.
So I'm always curious and probably envious as well, as individuals who can remember certain things, and these things are important.
Yeah.
And I can see that, you know, these things really, they've had not just an influence, but maybe have shaped your thinking even to now. And we are, you know, we these old men know, you know. We're not young.
But it's a great point you make, because my dad was a rebel in the sense of he didn't bend if he never had to pick anything up. He never scratched if he never had an itch. And he always looked people in the eye and told them straight. And in particular, the authority, from police, traffic wardens, anybody who had authority, my old man took an instant dislike, and he fought them all the way. So every day for me was civil rights, equality. You know, he fought against the Teddy Boys, the skinheads, and so on and so forth. So African-American blues and soul, rock and roll, soul on its own, not blues and soul, soul on its own. I grew up to love music. It was a window to understand what was happening around me, both inside the house and outside. And also the world around me. The music told the story and continues to tell me the story. And that's where I went for my salvation and my redemption, to understand why people were treating us, black people, in such a different, you know, in such a negative way.
What you're talking about is so interesting, and we could talk about this all night, all afternoon.
Yeah.
But let's get back to the music, the five tracks that you chosen.
Yeah.
Before we listen to and speak about the specific five, How hard did you find it to just choose five?
Impossible, to tell you the truth. And I guess if I was to really say I want to nail down my favorite civil rights tracks, I would be in probably about 100, my top 100. And perhaps my top 50 could, any one of those top 50 could be first among equals. You could name five Aretha Franklins. You could name five Isaac Hayes. You could name five Curtis Mayfields. Yeah. Five Motown tracks, Marvin Gaye tracks, and go on and on. So it was very, very difficult. James Brown's another one. Mm. Papa Don't Mess. Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. And all of those, you could go on and on and on and on. So I found it now impossible. So what I did was I just picked like a top 50 and then just picked my best. The five I wanted to listen to at the time. And that's how I came to my five. Yeah.
Okay. Let's get into it then.
Okay.
What's your number five?
Living for the City by Stevie Wonder, 1970. Three. That track for me is still prophetic today, profound. You know, you can look at a young male in anywhere in West Yorkshire from Bradford, an African descendant male, Bradford, Leeds, Huddersfield, Sheffield, Birmingham, London, anywhere there's a black community, this track still resonates and can give inspiration and guidance to those youth. So that's the longevity of this track, yeah.
All right, let's take a little listen.
Okay, go on.
A boy's born in hot damn Mississippi, surrounded by for one that ain't so pretty. His parents give him love and affection to keep him strong, moving in the right direction, living just enough
for the city.
all right.
Just you know.
Yeah.
That alone just tells you how real it is. That, yeah. Cost of living crisis now. Yeah. You can just put that to that. Yeah.
Yeah. I was about to ask you then. Are you today, right?
Mm-hmm.
Express to them the relevance of this track in 2023?
I would say the relevance of this track, if I was talking to a young man, and I do on regular occasions, I'll say, I kind of always share with him that nothing really has changed. Yeah? So today, youngsters are using gangster rap, drill, to express it. Stevie was doing it for Motown, expressing where he was. So they get it. Young people get it. I don't feel you need to tell a young person how hard it is. And as Harry Belafonte once interviewed Paul Robeson when he defected to Russia. You'll know about Paul Robeson being a choir man and things like that. And Harry Belafonte said to Paul Robeson, reflecting back, because he was exiled when he was from America, reflecting back, Paul, would you do anything different? And Paul says, no, he wouldn't do anything different. And he says, because every generation takes care of itself. Mm. And I think that's, even when we were kids knocking heads in, we had to fight the Teddy Boys, we had to fight the police and or hide from the police and things like that. And we took care of ourselves. Our old man and our old ladies took care of themselves. As we have children now, you'll see this generation of youngsters, they're taking care of business. When they went and pulled down the whole statue of Edward Colson during the Black Lives Matter, could we have even dreamed of pulling down a public statue, King?
No chance.
Right? So you see what I'm saying? Every generation takes care of itself. But this track is timeless. So for me, when I put the whole five tracks together, I wanted to tell a story as opposed to pick five tracks. So give him just enough for the city.
All right.
Yeah. Please.
Let me continue this story.
Okay. Respect.
So, track number four. Which one have you chosen?
Well, my all-time favorite artist is Curtis Mayfield. But Curtis, this was not Curtis Mayfield's solo track. He was singing with his group, The Impressions. This, and it's called Keep On Pushing. Yeah? And the song's uplifting. It's empowering. Even now, you know, as a social entrepreneur for the last 36, 37 years, when I've had a tough day, didn't get this funding or some local authority personnel, you know, I feel they're trying to send me down some bureaucratic corridor or some community activist is trying to go against the grain of what we're trying to do and they don't want to work collectively. I go home and I bust this tune. Keep On Pushing.
Okay, let's take a listen.
Some way or somehow, 'cause I've got my strength. Don't make sense not to keep on pushing.
Maybe someday, and he goes on to say, "I'll reach that higher goal."
I hear the homage to gospel within the track. The harmonies, but the message: hey, we got to persevere, man. You got to persevere. You got to keep on, keep on pushing. Nice choice, isn't it?
And I do feel. That track's got everything. It's got gospel. It's got soul. I think it's even got a bit of blue beat. You know what I mean? It's got everything. It's got jazz. It just encapsulates the music that was around in those era. It's almost like a transitioning track as well. Because going from gospel to soul. Yeah. I mean, and gospel is a genre of soul, and soul is a genre of gospel.
Nice choice. Nice choice, Mr. Brown. Nice choice. So, your third choice, well, I'll let you share what your third choice is.
Okay, so my third choice has got to be James Brown, Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, 1964. Again, uplifting, empowering lyrics. I think this track was written for my father. Because like I said, I've never seen anybody as stand up as him against the perennial struggle for freedom. Mm. And Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud. And my father, he had lots of James Brown records. When you think about ABC, Paramount Records is what this track was released on. But then he went to Polydor. Mm-hmm. And when you got Get Up Off of That Thing and what's the other one? Get Up, Get On Up, Stay On The Scene.
Get On Up.
I'm like, sex machine. All of those things I think was Polydor. Mm-hmm. But James Brown. Oh my God, hardest working man in showbiz. God rest his soul. Say it loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud.
Let's say it loud.
Say it loud.
Now, I'm sure the listeners want to know, can you move like James?
Yeah, but no. In fact, I don't move like James. I move like Sammy Davis Jr.
All right.
No, but James Brown, Sammy Davis Jr. And then you had is it Michael Jackson, MC Hammer, you know. What's more important to me in that track as well from a kind of a musicology tip is that's your first rappers. Maybe even Louis Jordan back in the 1930s and 40s was rap. Mm-hmm. But when you hear him sing Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud, you're hearing lots of rappers who rapped through the song. So James was a genius. Mm-hmm. And I think this was the catalyst of another musical genre.
I've got a question for you, Mr. This Song. Because in my mind, I'm thinking 1968, mm-hmm. 60s. It would appear that there was maybe a clearer distinction between black and white.
In terms of music?
Terms of music, but just general, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is, do you think the sentiments of the song resonate as much today as they did back then? You know, Say It Loud, Say It Proud, you know, I'm black. Do you sense that those sentiments are expressed maybe as clearly and, I guess, what is overtly the right word, as overtly as you were back then?
It's an interesting question because 1968, I mean, it's 4 years after the Civil Rights Bill was passed, but black people were still catching hell. Mm. Black people were still being murdered. I mean, just look at, in America, the prison ratio in the US for African Americans. So today I feel the struggle is exactly the same, but I'm older, a wiser. I navigate things very, very differently. But for us who are older and wiser and navigate things differently, we can't turn a blind eye to the same old unconscious or conscious discriminatory practices that exist in governance today, whether it's national, regional, or local public sector governance. So I think that, again, this song is timeless. Yeah. And maybe if the millenniums now would listen to this track, who knows? Mm. And I guess to answer your question, maybe you should ask them as opposed to me, because, again, when I feel in a corner, James Brown, Curtis Mayfield, yeah, Aretha Franklin, Isaac Hayes, these artists and musicians still empower me, motivate me, and inspire me, right? So, yes, in answer to your question, it's a long way around to take a shortcut, yes, but I think you probably want to ask the younger people how true my yes means to them, yeah?
No, that's great. Well, we're almost there. Your number two track.
Well, you know, you can't talk about civil rights and you can't talk about, say, gospel music. You can't talk about soul music. You can't talk about any kind of music without, you know, the queen of soul and arguably gospel, or one of the true founders of gospel, Aretha. Come and get me anytime, Franklin. And she sings Respect, 1967. This song became an anthem for the civil rights movement. Sorry, for the civil rights and feminist movement, with its empowering lyrics and catchy melodies. And if you think about what black men was going through during the 1960s, imagine what the women were going through. And it was the women who were keeping those men strong. You take Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, Medgar Evers, their wives would protect the children while they went out the door to work, knowing full well they might not come back. So I take my hat off to the women of the civil rights movement, and they don't get enough credit. But I think this track really symbolizes the civil rights movement and feminist movement for women.
I would 100% agree with you. Let's have a listen to it then. Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, you know.
Yeah, not a lot. Yeah. Just a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It is often, if you were to ask probably 9 out of 10 individuals for their top 10 civil rights song, I would be surprised if many put Respect in that top 10.
You'd be surprised.
I would be surprised.
Why is that? Why would you be surprised?
Because I don't think, you see, you've made the link.
Yeah. Okay.
To the civil rights with right. this song. I don't think many make this link to civil rights.
Mm-hmm. Right? And the feminist movement.
I would think the majority of men, well, it's their song, man. It's their song. Right? That doesn't mean we have respect for them.
Yeah,
blah, 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 blah. But you have succinctly put it in context that, hey, what's the saying? Behind every successful man is a strong woman, right? And it takes and took and still takes the two working collectively to help each other through the struggle, even in 2023.
Totally agree. And just to finish off on that point as well, I think it was Malcolm X who said, you educate a man, you educate a person. Mm. You educate a woman, you educate a nation. The next cure for cancer will be born out of a woman's womb. Mm. The next cure for AIDS, the next magical pharmaceutical breakthrough will be given birth from a woman. So you can't take the women out of the equation. They are central. And I think what Aretha Franklin's done, not just as a musician, but also as a woman, she put women firmly on the map. Betty Shabazz, Malcolm X's wife, Afeni Shakur, Black Panther. You know, when you look at the Black Panther movement, Afeni Shakur, then you've got Coretta Scott King for Dr. Martin Luther King. The women played a major, major role. And then not even talking, you know, when you start talking about Angela Davis. Oh, good gosh. There were some very, very powerful. Fannie Lou Hamer, where there's some very, very powerful women during the civil rights that didn't get their true recognition.
Well, maybe next time it'll be an all-female top five.
Absolutely.
We'll come to that. Yeah, but your number one. Your number one choice.
Yeah. Well, my number one choice is What's Going On by Marvin Gaye, 1971. Now, again, people think because the Civil Rights was passed in 1964, everything finished there. We're still fighting for civil rights, even today, yeah? But this track, What's Going On, Marvin Gaye, produced by Marvin, and it was inspired by police brutality, the anti-war environment, poverty, racism, discrimination, structural and institutional marginalization, demonization. It was all there. And if you look at just the Ukraine war, and also, well, the war bit was about the Vietnam War. But even you look today and you look at the Ukraine war, the war on poverty, the war on cost of living, the war on drugs, the war on everything. This track still remains. If you played it today, it should go to number one because it's so true of its word. What's going on?
Well, let's have a listen.
Mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some loving here today. Yeah. Father.
We don't need to escalate. Yeah, come on. The lyrics are so prophetic and so profound. Yeah.
If this song is not in everybody's top five, something I write. The lyrics are very important to me. Mm-hmm. And I can see that they're very, very important to you. And so if you just, like you said, the resonance and the relevance, mm-hmm. the same questions he was asking back in 71 is the same questions we're asking each other today.
2023.
Right? Simple question. Mm-hmm. But it's a profound question. What's going on? Mm-hmm. We need loving in this place.
Yeah, yeah. And again, you could look at the Marvin Gaye Inner City Blues. Mm. Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come. It didn't make the list, but I can tell you now that these tunes, you know, Otis Redding, they're all in there for me. And I'm upset that you only gave me 5. But, you know, thank you. Thank you for the time.
It's been an absolute joy. It's been an absolute pleasure having you here and sharing this time, not just with me, but with our listeners. Hopefully it won't be the last time. So thanks very much, Milton, for sharing your top 5 songs of the Civil Rights Movement. And listeners, you've been listening to Music of the Moment with our special guest, Dr. Milton Brown. I'm Edwin Baker. Now, if you've been enjoying what you've been listening to and have any comments, any suggestions, or maybe you've got your own top 5 you'd like to share, please send any comments, any suggestions to the African Descendants Forum at gmail.com, or alternatively, you can send them to musicinthehood@gmail.com. It's been a pleasure. We hope that you'll join us again. Bye for now.